some alarming statistics. According to the Department of Education's Department of Civil Rights, black girls in public elementary and high schools are suspended at a rate of 12% compared to the 2% suspension rate for their white peers. With all of the consequences of racial inequality that we've been talking about for weeks here on the program, with law enforcement and income inequality, is this a surprise or is it sowing the seeds of social unrest later in life? Unrest that we've seen, certainly, in the last few weeks. It's hard to say, but if you look at the state of Georgia, the numbers are really wild on this school discipline issue. And our partner, the New York Times, found that in Georgia, a black girl is five times more likely to be suspended than her white classmate. What does that feel like in reality? Well, Sakina White, you are a teacher at the Roberta Smith Elementary School and a mom, right?
That is correct.
How do you respond to these statistics?
I'm very appalled, very disappointed, because as an educator and a parent, I see both sides of the spectrum.
What do you think accounts for the difference in the way girls are treated, black and white?
Skin color. I mean, that's all I can say.
Now, we can agree right at the top that it's racism. I mean,
yes.
The question is, what's going to help us to understand and equalize the situation? And, you know, I'm wondering, and I'd love to know how you respond to this. I mean, we talk a lot about how the African-American experience is fundamentally different than the white experience for kids, for adults. Would it make sense that kids coming into school have a different set of behaviors and that teachers maybe aren't really trained to treat these individuals as individuals, or that the stats reflect some set of differences coming into the school? As an educator, how do you relate to that?
Well, as an educator, I see students come in. Well, for the most part, we're a Title I county, which means a lot of our students are lower income. So the students that come in, I do see a difference in their behaviors. There could be differences as far as the way that teachers are trained.
Well, none of that accounts for what happened to your daughter, right?
No.
Tell me that story.
On this particular day, they had a student, which they chose my child to take over the classroom. Well, when she was taking over the classroom, she was trying to get the classroom quiet, and she had a book, and she was waving the book around, and she said, you know, everybody needs to sit down, be quiet, whatever. So the book slipped out of her hand, hit a student of another ethnicity. Her and the student said something. I don't know what was said. So I was notified. I was called on my job, asked to come up there for a meeting. Well, the meeting that I went up there for turned into a hearing. And during this meeting, right after the meeting, she was expelled from school.
What happened? How did she respond to this punishment?
Oh, her school performance for a long time, she was very suicidal, very suicidal. Her grades she's a very outgoing child. Well, before this incident, she was a very outgoing child. But after this, she became very withdrawn. At this point, two and a half, three years later, I'm still trying to put her in things to get her self-esteem, her confidence, and everything. She's very leery of adults, so she's very introverted.
How did the school board eventually reconsider this case?
They didn't reconsider. They upheld the expulsion. I ended up knowing the educational side and being a teacher. I knew that I could appeal to the State Board of Education, and that's exactly what I did. And they reversed it.
Well, this is a really unfortunate situation. What grade is your daughter in?
She's in 11th now.
11th grade. Where is she headed in terms of post-graduation? What are her aspirations right now?
Her aspirations, she wants to attend several universities. She was looking at the basketball, I think Michigan State was one of the schools she was looking at as far as basketball. She runs basketball and she does track also.
She's college bound is what you're saying.
Oh, yeah. She's college bound. Yes, right, sir. Right. Yes, sir.
All right, Sakina. Well, have a great day at the elementary school. It's, you know, younger kids are less complicated.
Yes.
For sure. Thanks so much, Sakina.
All right. Thank you.
Sakina White is a mom and a teacher at Roberta Smith Elementary School in Atlanta, Georgia. We're joined now by Michael Tefelsky, supervising attorney with the Georgia Legal Services Program. He advocates for students who find themselves in the system because of discipline problems. And one of his cases fits the statistical pattern perfectly, he says.
Well, it happens with some regularity. Last year, actually, around this time, I received a call from a grandmother who was a primary caregiver for her daughter, who is African-American, and that child had been given a notice of a school disciplinary hearing where the school was seeking a potential punishment of permanent expulsion. The charges that had been brought against the child were allegations that she had written on a school wall and defaced some other school property. There was a white student that was involved as well, and that white student was not sent to a disciplinary hearing. It turned out, as I learned as I was working on the case, that the white student had actually been bullying my client, and that on the day in question, my client was actually pressured by this other student to go into the girl's locker room, and the other child, the white student, had brought the marker and had kind of developed this plan, and they had gone in there, and the white student had wrote on some walls and admitted to writing on some student shoes. My client admitted to writing "hi" on a bathroom stall after the white girl had handed her the marker and said, "Here, you write something." And the two children were interrogated by a deputy who was a school resource officer. As a result, the white student received a 5-day out-of-school suspension. My client was sent to a school disciplinary hearing where she was facing a possible permanent expulsion. Ultimately, at that hearing, she was found guilty, which is common in that county. 96% of kids who get referred to a school disciplinary hearing are found guilty. Fortunately, only the time that she had been out of school was her punishment, and so we were able to avoid the permanent expulsion. But a sheriff's deputy showed up at my client's house. We thought the matter had been resolved, that it was done, and a sheriff's deputy showed up, served my client with then what was a juvenile court petition, essentially a criminal petition alleging her of charges that could amount to a felony potentially. And the white student did not face that same sheriff's deputy. There was no criminal action that was brought against the white student.
Well, the case sounds very troubling, and the statistics certainly speak for themselves in terms of the overrepresentation of blacks in this population of suspended girls. But at the risk of sounding like, Bill O'Reilly here, is it possible that, this is one of these deals where you're taking a statistical slice of an experience and that you're capturing something that may distort your conclusions in the sense that, we talk a lot about how African-Americans have a fundamentally different sort of life experience than whites do in many, many ways because of income inequality, because of, the conditions in urban America. Is it possible that these kids are coming to the school with such different experiences that the consequences for acting out or disciplinary troubles reflect that in some way, not exclusively a difference in race, that this is a consequence of a society that's racially divided?
I think that there is institutionalized racism and bias in our schools, and whether that means on an individual level there are racists, I don't know that. I think that racists exist, but I think ultimately we just have some institutionalized problems. The Kerwin Institute has done studies on this and found that school administrators do have implicit bias towards African-American students, where they measured that African-American students are disciplined more severely for nonviolent minor infractions when compared to the same actions taken by white students. School administrators have very similar discretion like law enforcement officers in that they can make the decisions about, do I want to send this kid to a school disciplinary hearing or do I want to try to address the problem in the principal's office? Do I need to call the sheriff's deputy down here to deal with this problem? Or is this something that I can handle here as an administrator? And I think that a lot of administrators are becoming too dependent on law enforcement. And also, I think that those biases, when there's that discretion, so much discretion that's available, that's where we can have those biases that creep in and how kids are being treated. And they may be unconscious, but that's what allows them to happen.
Well, it's certainly something that the state of Georgia is going to have to address on some level. Michael Tefelsky is supervising attorney with the Georgia Legal Services Program. Thanks so much, Michael.
Thank you.